late with doggies. Waking up 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 late with doggies.
I wake up late with doggies. It's 10 a.m. and I wanna hear someone funny.
Welcome to the Wake Up Late with Dougie Show. I'm Dougie Almeida, and I'm here with my co-host today, as usual, Mr. Peter Leonard.
Good morning, everybody. How's everyone today?
Right.
Happy Wednesday.
Are you all right? Because you're you had a little another little accident again. You know, you're like,
you're bad luck for me, man.
Me?
Well, it happened.
How the fuck was I around?
Well, because last Wednesday I left the studio here. I went to go to the gym. We did the show. It was fantastic. We had Elton with us.
Elgin. Yeah.
Right. And what's his name?
Elgin.
Oh.
Yeah, Elgin's not
with
us today.
Why do you keep telling me Elton?
I don't tell you anything, dude. Oh.
Anyway, so I go to the gym in East Boca. I have a great workout. Now, you know, I had the spine surgery a year ago, January
right.
2014. I had 7 discs fused. I was out for 3 months, man, in a neck brace.
Right.
Couldn't move, couldn't sleep. I showered with the thing on a neck brace, slept in it.
Yeah, it was funny because we got to tell the story about how the nurses had to clean you and wash you down there.
Oh, my God. Well, they did for the first 5 days, and then they came at me with, like, you know, they looked like the final scene in E.T., those people in the white suits. That's how rank I was by the time they sent someone to, you know, actually clean me up at U of M Hospital.
Yeah.
Anyway, so I leave the joint, and I'm sitting at a red light, Dixie Highway going, we're about to make a left turn, and all of a sudden, the light changes. I just take my foot off the brake, and bang. I go, oh, my God. I look up in my rearview mirror immediately, and there's some chick who pops her head up. You could tell she was, like, you know, flipped out. She picked her head. I don't know what she was either sleeping or texting. Now, she got out of her car with her phone in her hand, which indicates to me that she may have been texting. But when we subpoena her records to see if 1202 or 202 last Wednesday, 202 last Wednesday.
Well, I don't know why you'd even bother with that.
Well, she got a ticket. I mean,
the bottom line is when you get rammed in the ass at a stoplight, it's not your fault.
Right. Well, the cop did say, listen, were you moving? Was she not moving? You know, she could have. I said, listen, officer, I was standing still. I mean, look at my car. First of all, the chick gets out of the car, and I said, are you completely out of your mind?
You're not polite. Like, I like to do the polite thing when I get in an accident. The first thing I ask, are you all right? You know, and then they're like, yeah, are you okay? And I'm like, yeah, I just want to find out who I'm dealing with.
Yeah, well,
especially
I saw what I
me.
Was dealing with.
Yeah.
Little Nigel. So anyway, so, you know, she said, what are you worried? I said, well, were you texting? Were you paying attention? What the fuck were you doing driving into the back of my vehicle? She goes, quote unquote, what are you worried about? I have insurance.
Yeah, that's a good way to go. Why bother? I mean, your car got hit. An accident happened.
No, except for the fact that I had 7 discs fused like a year ago, honey. And if you fucking moved one of my bolts in my neck, an eighth of a fucking inch.
But you know what? As an attorney, I would say to you, don't say anything to them.
Right.
You know, you don't want them to know anything. But, you know, the spiteful person or the person that wants to make a point would say, you fucking cunt. I just had neck and back surgery.
Were you hiding in the bushes? You heard me say that.
Yeah, I can imagine.
You motherfucker. You heard. You were there, bro.
Listen.
I need you for a witness. No, the cop has their witnesses. No, seriously, were you around?
I wasn't anywhere near there.
That's the fucking second line I used.
Yeah.
So.
Which you want to say that. You know, if she's going to be smart as, I got insurance. Yeah, well, unfortunately, you know, I had back surgery. Now, I don't give a fuck about insurance. I just want to be able to look down at my dick, you fucking wench.
Right. Just, you know, I don't want to be in a neck brace again for 90 days. You know,
listen,
go through that.
Don't think you know everything, bitch.
Fucking
whore. You bunch.
So, you know what I did say to her? I said, one thing you don't have insurance against is me. I said, I have your driver's license in my eye. Now I see where you live.
I'll listen to you.
Sheree, Shante, whatever her fucking name was.
Okay, don't get...
So anyway,
so after that confrontation, how long did it take for the cops to get there?
Like 5 minutes, maybe.
All right, so you went. You actually went to the hospital. After,
oh, yeah.
You had them, kept, the ambulance took you?
Well, here's what happened. The ambulance came. The guy said, I want to transport you to the hospital. I think you should go. He looked at my car. He saw, you know, my neck. He felt the tightness in my
this
back.
This is a paramedic already. Giving you all this advice?
Yeah, and mm-hmm. I said, here's the problem. You're going to take me and you're going to board, B-O-A-R-D, board me, right? And he said, yeah, that's when they put you on that flat board.
Right.
And they put the neck brace on you and they strap your head down to the thing.
Yeah, otherwise it seems nonsensical to even get in the fucking ambulance.
Right. Now, I can't do that because of the surgery already. If you strap me flat on my back with a neck brace on, you're going
to be a compromising position.
He'll break every fucking pin in my
neck. Yeah, you're already, as they say in the legal term, you're a case of China.
Like yes.
You're,
yeah. Am I what? That's
you're,
a legal
you're
term?
Like, yeah. Well,
by the way, I meant to ask you, what law school did you go to?
I went to Nova Law School.
Yeah. I went to the Locks. Anyway, so to make a long story short, you know, it's just the inconvenience of everything plus the feeling and pain again all over. You know, I haven't had pain. I feel like a minor bullshit pain.
Did her airbag deploy?
No. Airbag?
Yeah.
Did you see what she was driving to?
Well,
her bubble gum deployed.
Yeah.
You know, that's about it. The fucking, she must have been blowing up. That wasn't there.
Well, she was obviously texting. She looked up, saw your white car sitting there at the light.
Yeah. And she said, oops.
They tried to pin that on me too. When my Audi got crashed.
Yeah.
Right there on the corner by the street, right on the way home.
Uh-huh.
Wife and I coming home. I'm sitting there in the Audi. She's a couple cars behind me.
Yeah.
And some clown runs into the back of me right as I'm at a red light, and he tried to tell the guy the light turned green. I thought the light was green and everybody was moving. And I'm like, well, my wife was a couple cars behind me. Ooh, you know,
right, moron.
Yeah,
you know, she told the cop, the funny thing was, she said, no, we was moving and he slammed on his brakes.
Is that what she said?
Check. And the cop said, that's very funny, because the first thing I did was check to see if there are any tire marks on the sidewalk, and there are none. So I don't know that you're telling the truth. At least the cops told me that. I said, listen, I took the light had changed. The cars in front of me went. I took my foot off the brake to move it onto the gas, and she slammed into me.
Either way, even with her story, Peter Leonard, that she would still be responsible for keeping a safe distance from you.
Right.
Whether you get in the car and hit the brakes, there could be a fucking duck in front of you.
Well, she better keep a safe distance now.
Yeah. You shouldn't have said a word. You should have sat there in the background just looking at her.
Know what I wanted to do? What I should have done, and it's hindsight's 2020, I should have opened the car door, fallen over, peed and shit.
Yeah, shit yourself.
And passed out. Yeah. And that's it. You know,
You'd be laying on the pavement with like 150-degree fucking pavement. Oh, I can't take this. I got to get up.
Yeah.
It's hot in Florida.
Yeah.
If you're not, it's you know, this is why a lot of people leave Florida that live here. They go up north.
Yeah.
You know, they retreat. Retreat! Retreat! Retreat from the heat!
You know, and it's funny, I was talking to some people since the accident about texting and watching people in cars and texting and Facebooking, whatever the fuck they're doing, they're not paying attention. And, you know, every other state in the country, you're not even allowed to drive with a phone in your hand.
Right.
It's going to be hands-free or nothing. You know, I talk to my friends in New Jersey. They go, oh, hold on a second. I see a cop. They have to put their phone down.
Yeah.
You know, so what the fuck? I mean,
every car nowadays has a safety. Like, you type, every car should has airbags now, more mm-hmm. or less. You remember? There was a period of time where you had to it was like an option to get airbags. Mm-hmm. Right now, most cars have airbags. Okay. Mm-hmm. All cars should have some sort of Bluetooth.
Right.
You know, and you have to, you know, and if it doesn't work, you know, then the phone don't work.
Right.
It shuts it down.
There you go. I think that's a great idea. You put like a little magnetic fucking thing around. If you can't not talk on the phone, the average length of a commute in South Florida is 22 minutes to and from work. 26. It used to be 20. Well, it used to be 22. It's 26. It was in the newspaper the other day. 26-minute commute to work. If you can't fucking not talk to somebody, text, Facebook for 26 fucking minutes.
How bad is that somebody can't bother getting back in touch with their social media? Like how, like everybody should have a challenge. Like I know people do that. You see people that do, look, I'm going to take a break from Facebook for 4 days. You know,
right.
You know.
Yeah.
And then they do it. And you know,
or they try.
Or they try. Mm-hmm. You know, I have people say, you're on it all the time. I'm like, dude, my computer's on at work.
Right.
So it's on. It's not like I'm sitting mm-hmm. here on Facebook reading stories. I'm actually working. It's sitting there. Well, you're always on it. No, my computer's always on. I'm always doing something on my computer.
Right.
You know, I'm writing, editing, I'm whatever. Well, you're always on Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
No, I'm not.
Yeah.
You know, if I'm always on Facebook, you're always fucking watching me on Facebook, you fuck. You creepy bastard. You know, when people do that, you ever notice when people, like, they pay so much attention to you?
Mm-hmm.
You're like, yeah? Well, how fucked up are you for paying notice?
Yeah, right.
Keeping notice, you fucking idiot.
Right. Well, let me just tell you something. I just Googled social media addiction, and there are at least seven, I haven't even gotten to page two yet, articles, websites, all this shit about social media addiction. Dr. Wilson, CBS News, University of Albany study. And it's absolutely true. And they also say that if you're in a depressed state.
Hold on a second. I got to check my Facebook.
Right. If you're in a depressed state, that you should stay the fuck off of social media and see all this stuff like, hey, we're off to Europe now. We're going to take the whole family and the kids. And I'm even treating my parents and my wife's parents. And we're going to all go because, you know, something insignificant happened, so I'm going to take everybody. First, we're going by ship, so it's a big cruise, and there's 14 of us, and this is going to cost us a fortune. And you know what I always type?
Right.
You know what I always type? I go, I know your alarm code, and now we know when you're coming back. Have a nice trip.
Right.
You know, morons.
That's nice of you.
Isn't it? Well, first of all, I don't want to see people so fucking happy.
Yeah,
you know, I don't need to see that.
But that, you know what? To those people, fuck off too. You know, people like those. Listen. Let people. Sometimes people get boisterous because they haven't had a reason to be boisterous. You know what I mean? You know, it's like, you know, in the world of comedy,
mm-hmm.
you know, everybody, you know, it's comics. They'll work a gig and everybody takes photos of their hotel room. You know, so
right.
I had a comic recently tell me, "Oh, this fucking asshole." I go, "Why? You didn't do it when you fucking started? Shut the fuck up."
Hmm.
You know, give the young guy. You know, like you see comics do stuff. Like I have a habit. I post tonight's stage. You know, and I used to do that because as a comic, I thought it was always cool the first time you see a new stage.
Right.
Like I had my home club. I knew what that was. And
that is kind of cool.
So
I guess.
First time you go to a venue, you're like, oh, what's the stage look like? What's it? You know, how's it look?
Right.
You know,
and this way, you know,
if you're videoing it, you want the sound system good. If it's a good stage, you want to video it. You say, well, I want to set up the camera because I might be able to get a good, you know, segment here for
right.
for a festival entry video
sure.
or for just to send it to a club, you know, to get an audition. You know?
Yeah.
So I take a photo of the venue. You know, and some people are like, there's a lot of people that say, hey, I like it though. I like it's cool because it lets the comic who's not on out there or the newer comic, whatever, say, hey, that's pretty fucking cool. Now, let me ask you a question.
Yes.
Other people, now I'm trying to remember that's not an original idea by me. I just thought, hey, it'd be good to do. You know, I didn't sit there and go, did anybody else do this before? You know what I mean? I didn't. You know, I'm like, hey, you know, I'm going to do it so-and-so. And I haven't thought of it that way.
Mm-hmm.
I did it for that main purpose. Mm-hmm. I figured this is the stage that I'm going to perform on tonight. And to take it all in, I'm taking a photo of tonight's stage.
That's nice.
Several comics
That's nice.
Started
well,
doing
something funny,
started man. Doing started doing the same thing.
Yeah.
And so another comic says to me, he's like, oh, look at so-and-so. They're doing it. I said, I don't give up. Listen, again. Well, you know, I give a fuck.
Let the kid have his fucking
glory. You think
glory.
I give a fuck what
right.
somebody does?
Exactly. It's not. Listen, imitation is the best form of flattery. Speaking of taking first pictures of something, this is hysterical. My friend Dave Marlowe, you might have met him. He's about 60, very funny guy, married twice, 59 years old, but went to Vietnam to get married to a chick who was 32 at the time.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Yeah. Marries this chick because he wanted a concubine.
A concubine?
Yeah. He literally needed somebody who, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, this girl.
To take care of him.
Absolutely. In his old age and shit, she'd never been to America. She was a virgin. She was 26. He was 50. They're married 9 years. 51 at the time. 51.
Right.
Okay. Long story. This is the one that was. I met her the first time. She was eating his bait. She took the bait out of the freezer. She was deep frying his fucking bait. Okay.
Yeah.
Honest to God. First time I met her. Okay. Come eat my wife. I just got her here. Anyway, she's eating Shiners. So I'm looking at his wedding. You can laugh at it because it's true.
Laughing.
The fucking, I'm looking at his wedding video, his wedding pictures. He says, look, we just got married in Vietnam and here's the photos and everything. And all of a sudden I'm flipping through and here's the hotel. They stayed at it in some fucking, you know, I guess whatever they
right.
were. There's a picture of the bathroom, the shower, the sink. I said, Dave, why?
What the fuck are you taking photos of the hotel?
He goes, oh man, Tam wanted him because she'd never seen indoor plumbing before.
Wow.
I said, you what? I mean, so you didn't get her from like a nice city in Vietnam. This is, she was Oh, no, man. They're hut
people. He must have ran out of film by the time he came to the States.
Yeah, they're hut people.
Yeah. Well, that's one of my old jokes.
Well, I saw a box of tampons. The next picture was a box of tampons. I said, holy shit, was that her first bite? He said, no, man, I'm just kidding. No, I'm just kidding. I wrote that joke. But the rest of it's true. She took pictures of the bathroom. It was her first fucking...
I used to say, like, my father-in-law used to bust my balls and this and that.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, always tell me what I'm doing as a comic and this and that. I'm like, hey... I said, you know, listen, your daughter's first husband lived in a hut, okay?
Right.
A fucking, I have AC, okay?
Right.
I got floors.
That's funny.
Yeah, I got a garage.
Yeah. He had the mow inside.
Yeah.
He didn't go outside the mow.
Yeah.
They had the fucking,
the roof was palm frond leaves.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. I got barrel tile roof. He had palm frond leaves.
Right. You could play highlight when season changed.
Yeah.
He would sit there and carve the fucking, what do they call those? What do they call a Cessna? Cessna. Yeah. There you go.
Yeah.
Not the Cessna. Airplane.
Well, with the pelota.
Yes.
Right?
Now, did you know that? Did you ever go to High Line?
Yeah,
you
must have.
You're Puerto Rican. You had to see that
stuff.
I'm
not Puerto Rican, Cuban, but I've been to High Line.
Right. Did you? In the day, man, that fucking.
It was fun. You go there, you bet on, you know.
Fun, rigged.
Rocco and, yeah, and Joey. Jose.
How about Joey?
Yeah.
My friend married Joey, man. Jade Alexander, who used to be the jock on Y100.
I remember her.
Yeah, she married Joey.
Yeah?
Yeah, her second husband. Yeah.
Now, you know, there was a bar across from Dania High Line where there was a reputation that those guys were all like...
Was it the Anchor?
Yeah, you know, it's like a little Irish bar. It's right
was
across...
It the Anchor,
I don't remember. But yeah, those guys used to go there and they used to bang all the chicks.
Oh, yeah?
The High Line guys were like, you know, like rock stars.
Wow.
Yeah. But I was like younger. You know, I started going there. Yeah, I started going there.
Is that where you hung out waiting for them?
Yeah, I actually went in there with my Cessna in my hand. Hey, right. I'm a player.
It wasn't your Cessna.
Yeah. It was that old scoop game you used to buy at, you know, play school.
Yeah. You do have curvature.
You ever play trackball? You remember that? Talk about
no,
games?
No, what is that?
Trackball was a game where you took this ball and you put in like this catcher, this frame thing.
Yeah.
You know, it was like a handle.
Uh-huh.
But it had like a plastic
like a
cage.
Mitt?
Yeah, you know, but in plastic.
Right.
And along, it had a rail that went from your hand basically to the end or the tip of the basket.
Okay.
Which had groovings, almost like you would, like when you pull cord, the groovings of a gear.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And then you would put the ball in there and you'd fucking throw
flip
the track
it?
Ball. You'd throw
flip?
It like, no,
oh.
you would,
oh.
the ball would be almost like near your hand. And as you pull it, it'd win almost a Cessna, almost like a highlight thing.
Okay.
But, and then you'd throw it and the ball would curve so much that you would throw it and go, and it bend around.
You're
so you can like throw around a fucking tree, you know, big fat guy standing in between you. Hey, let's do this, and you throw the ball and it bend around
like a boomerang.
No, it was a ball though, and you could scoop
it.
How did
it curve like that? Can they use it in the major leagues?
Dude, can you imagine if you put the ball like this, and as you throw it, the ball rolls and then
it
spins from the track.
Wow,
yeah,
is that when you first had that Tommy John surgery?
No, I didn't, but...
you needed it after that.
I used to have a friend that went every time when I lived in St. Augustine and went to Flagler College.
Mm-hmm.
We go to the beach. It was that fucking paddle game with the little ball.
Loved it. Kadima. Oh, that's the greatest game ever. It's very good exercise,
Yeah, it's good exercise,
but really
it's stupid. It's fucking stupid
I gotta tell
game.
You something. When I was in my...
Padina.
Kadima. When I was
Kadima?
In my 20s, 30s, I had a friend, and you could get that ball whipping. I mean, it wouldn't touch the sand for...
You talking about the game, or you and your friend's balls?
No, we'd be whipping each other with his cat nine tails. Let me play with the Kadima.
As I'm playing with your balls, you're paddling him in the ass with a paddle. That's not how the game's supposed to work.
Mm. Yeah, Kadima.
Kadima.
Yeah.
But trackball was a cool thing. You know, you go out there, and, you know, the problem was when the ball got a little fucked up, you know, someone's chasing after the ball, and they fucking step on it by mistake. You know, hey, you guys got any track balls left here at Kmart? No?
Yeah.
Fuck. I got to buy some other fucking game. Remember the game tic-tac-toe with a big toss across when you had to stand from a distance? It was a big tic-tac-toe thing when you had to throw bean bags at it.
I see in Manhattan, when we do games like that, we did that shit with switchblades where you stand 10 feet from each other. I swear to God, or darts. We used to fucking play darts by throwing at each other's bare feet.
Yeah.
That was the game we played with wooden floors.
Sounds fun.
Yeah, it is. Well, it's a lot more. You know, what did you play? Battleship?
No.
You sank my battleship.
No, here's an idea. We used to take sheet metal and cut shurikens, Chinese stars.
Wow.
Out of them. We used to get, I remember it was a while that we had, and then we took.
How'd you cut them?
You would, one of the guys on the block, you know, machine it, whatever. Ended up having the machine to cut it.
Wow, Jesus so, Christ, man. That's dangerous shit.
Yeah, but dude, we I remember one time we went in the garage because we had a bunch of them, and I didn't realize it, but I was throwing them at the back of the ping pong table that we used to put on the top of the pool table to
right.
play ping pong.
Uh-huh.
And I said, eh, what's a few holes, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, the fucking thing.
It went through?
No, it did. Well, yeah. Some
of them had to go through.
You're fucking, hey, watch how hard. You'd be 4 feet away and throw it into the board.
Because that ping pong shit is very thin.
It'd go right through. It's almost like a dartboard, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, no.
That's a lot of fun.
There was people getting, you know, we play fucked up games like in a carnival or the girl who stands by the knives.
Mm-hmm.
But the sheet metal, sometimes what would happen is we would get better sheet metal, like thicker. Like for a while, they were getting the thin stuff. When you throw mm-hmm. a thin one from a certain distance, it has a bit of
it'll curve.
Right, it'll roll off, a little bit.
Yeah, it'll go so, off course. Yeah, it won't stay straight.
Yeah, from about 10 or 15 yards, you have a margin of error. Of 3 to 4 feet.
Can take out little Timmy the neighbor. Yeah.
But that's when a couple guys got stuck.
I'll bet.
Yeah. Yeah, throwing it and fucking around. Oh, it's on my fucking shoulder.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The worst shit we did as kids in New York, I mean, we used to do some horrific stuff. I swear to God. We'd go to, like, there's a store called Woolworths, you know, the 5
Yeah, I remember Woolworths.
You know, and you could buy, for a dollar, you know, a bow and arrow set.
Right.
The plastic ones.
Had the little metal thing around the front. That's it, a little head.
Well, those are rubber at that point. It was, yeah.
Oh, you're talking about the rubber ones?
Yeah, because they were kids' shit. We would take toilet paper and wrap it all around the fucking front, make a little
light it on fire.
And soak it in Lavoris or something, you know? And mouthwash, whatever. And at night, and light on fire and shoot them into Broadway from my window.
Right.
You know, 10 o'clock at night, you're shooting flaming arrows across Broadway.
Yeah.
It's the funniest fucking thing in the world.
Yeah.
Or we'd go up to, you know, friends. My friend lived on the 28th floor and had a terrace on 86th between Lexington and 3rd Avenue. Now, that's a busy block.
Right.
Back in the day, when it snowed a lot in New York, you know, this guy had a big terrace. They get a lot of snow out there. We'd go outside and make snowballs and then throw them, I swear to God, into traffic 28 floors up and hit buses and people. I mean, the worst thing I think I ever did was we used to fill water balloons, Dougie, with paint.
Real yeah,
paint.
Well, that's mean.
Oh my God! I once hit a poodle with a green water balloon right under him, and boom,
nice.
This thing splattered. This
look at you.
This woman was flipping.
Of course you would.
That
would have fucking killed you. It was my
walking
dog.
Walking this dog with a came home all green, man, all green.
Well, I'll tell you this: we got. It was funny. I actually told the story I think before, but on Atlantic Boulevard. Me and a bunch of, it was in Margate, right? Just east of Rock Island Road. Mm-hmm. There used to be a bridge there. And,
used to be. Wait,
well,
you took it out?
No, it used to be a bridge. Now it's pretty much
a tunnel.
Road. Yeah.
That's a tunnel.
Yeah. And, one night, me and a few friends were sitting there around the bank of the canal. On next to the bridge, and as cars would drive by, we would throw shit
right
up at the fucking cars.
Of course.
So one time, you know, somebody hit a car, and all of a sudden, car skid stops. These bunch of dudes come out. What the fuck? Meanwhile, my Huffy BMX bike is up there on the bridge.
Oh, fuck.
And the guy grabs my bike and throws it in the canal.
That's nice.
You fucker. Is this your bike? No, not my bike. And it was like a new Christmas gift.
Oh, boy.
It was like, fuck, there plunges into the water.
What was the excuse you told your father?
Oh, I don't remember. No, I just said, Dad, these guys came by and fucking threw my bike in the, you know, canal.
Yeah.
Then my brothers went looking for him. You know, thank God my friend Johnny went swimming for it. Went and actually retrieved the bike. Yeah, it wasn't the same, no.
Nah, of course.
You know, when your bike goes into the canal for a day or two, you know, to the next day or whatever, it's... I one time playing golf, talk about just doing stupid things. I played golf over at McDivitt's, mm-hmm. Carolina Club in Margate. Nice golf course. Mm-hmm. And I was playing golf one day, and there's a little bit of drizzle, not very, very misty, light rain.
Mm-hmm.
So as I get to this fourth hole or whatever the fuck it was, I get ready to swing my club a little bit, and as I take a practice swing,
what you let
club,
it go?
Club flies right out of my hand because the hand was
wet,
you know, a little light swing's okay, but when you take a nice little
fuck, man.
Right into the middle of this canal. It's a dead canal. You know, in other words, it just banks in there and then there's flow down there. And I'm like, oh, fuck. And I try to remember how far it was.
Right.
So after we got done playing golf, I came back with goggles.
No, you didn't.
And I even came back with like my pool, like my the aluminum stick you use
for the pool,
for the pool cleaning and shit. I thought, well, yeah, maybe it's not that far out. I can like reach for it and try to pull it up. What a fucking idiot! So then I'm like, I get to the embankment. I'm there, and my buddy Rodney's there, and a couple, and I said, dude, he goes, do you think you can get it? And he's like, I think it was around there somewhere. And I'm like, yeah. So I mean, it's maybe like 15 yards off. So I'm sitting there poking with the stick. I'm like, oh, this isn't gonna fucking work.
Right.
Throw the stick. Now I go, I got to go in. I take one step, I'm knee deep. The second step, all the way up to my chest.
Yes.
And it's fucking cold. I'm like, and it's murky, and you know, just
that golf course. You got to be careful. They have alligators in those golf courses. Right?
Well, here's me. I mean, I've had experience with alligators. Hunt snakes and shit when I was a kid. So you know, meanwhile, it's more towards the middle of the end of the day. You know, they're not hungry then. They're usually hungry in the morning, and they eat, and they chill out all day.
You could be a
I know. So here, again, here's me. So I go swimming out, and I'm like, this is fucking cold. I'm having a hard time breathing.
Dangerous.
And, yeah. And I go, okay, I gotta look. And I go underwater with the goggles. I'm looking around. I can't even see my hands in my fucking in front of my... I'm like,
murky.
I'm gonna find a club,
nah.
And I'm swimming. I'm gonna swim into an alligator nest.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, is this my club? You know?
Jesus Christ, what'd you do?
I got the fuck out.
So would I. How insane is that?
I know.
And they're pretty deep. That can be 15 feet deep, those little holes.
Yeah, I'm going to go swimming down for my club.
No.
I started thinking my club's, what, $150? Speaking of $150, God damn it.
What happened? Who owes you money?
When I was in Sarasota for the World Series of Comedy, at the end of June, whatever, May, whatever it was, I had gotten a ticket from one of those, I got it sent to me.
Yeah.
For rolling through a red light on a right turn.
Are you
kidding me? 2 o'clock in the
me?
Fucking morning.
Wow.
It's unbelievable because they send you the ticket. And like if you want to dispute that, go to this site. You go to the site and it has your picture. Okay, picture. But then it shows the video.
And did you roll?
Oh, yeah. It was 2 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there was nobody on the fucking road.
I always stop.
At first, I was thinking, you know, I'll say, hey, there was some mean-looking dude on the corner. I didn't want to stop. I thought he was going to rob me.
Right.
There was nobody on the corner in that video.
Mm-hmm.
And it was kind of like, you know, I slowed down. And I didn't, like, barrel through it. I slowed down. And
you could have said there was a gator.
Yeah. I just got my club back.
Right.
I just got my golf club back from the fucking from the canal.
They followed you.
And the guy got pissed. He goes, we want that club.
How much was the ticket?
$158.
Hey, Jesus Christ, man.
Now, you know, what are you going to do in that situation? Well, I'm not going to fight it.
Well, that's also, I got to tell you.
I got to hire an attorney.
It's a moving.
All the way in Sarasota.
It's a moving violation.
But you know what? If you pay it,
yeah,
this will not count as a moving violation.
Why?
You just pay the fee and that's it.
I'm not so sure about it.
Dude, I'll show you the fucking paperwork.
I don't have to. I believe
it's actually in my office. But you know what I mean? My attorney friend's like, dude, Michael Samara, if anybody needs a DUI attorney.
Were you drunk at the time?
No.
Why'd you need DUI?
No, he's, you know, DUI
attorneys.
Can
they tell from a camera if you're drunk?
Yeah, they could tell. I throw a Coors Light bottle out the window.
Right.
How bad would that fucking be? Could you imagine how bad would that fucking be if all of a sudden you get a ticket? And if, by the way, we want you to appear in court. No, I'll just pay. No, Doug, it's when you ran through the red light, you threw a 6-pack of beer out the window.
Yeah, and an empty thing of Oreos. So we got for littering and DUI.
Yeah, you fat fuck. So
crazy,
so he's telling me, like, first of all, most of these times you can't fight it, and go watch the video, and that's what I did. Yeah, you know, I went to go watch the video, and I'm like, okay, you know, how am I going to argue this?
You should have like a viewing party. Hey, next time, you know what's really good? Next time you have to submit a video for a comedy club, send that one. Say, hey, this is pretty funny.
Yeah.
This might be the funniest shit I've ever done. Look.
Hey, by the way, speaking of World Series of Comedy, this Friday night I'm going to be in Providence, Rhode Island at the Comedy Connection competing in the World Series of Comedy. Come out to the 8 o'clock show or go to my Facebook page at Dougie Almeida and post on the event. There is a Groupon offer.
You're kidding me for comedy?
Yeah.
That's brilliant for the summertime. How great is that?
Calm the fuck down.
No.
Finish my...
We're here for 2 hours.
But this
isn't the end of the show. You can, you know what I mean?
You'll mention
this 9 or 10 more times.
No, I'm done. I'll say it. Well, I don't want to give too many plugs.
Why not?
Comedy Connection, Friday night this week in Providence, Rhode Island.
There's a Groupon.
I'm actually excited because I've never been there. I've never been to Providence, Rhode Island.
Well, grease your ass, pal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I heard there's a lot
of...
Someone had said there's a lot of good...
Nigel. No.
No, Italian food. A lot of good
Italian
restaurants.
Yeah, because, you know why? Because, you know, they all came from Boston.
Right.
So in Boston, big Italian, Irish, Italian, the whole thing. Great. Just go for the seafood too, man. Fuck that. Eat a lobster for $7. You're gonna be in the lobster capital of the world.
I'm staying in a real nice place. It's right on the water there, near the bay, and it's really beautiful. And so come out to the Comedy Connection.
Yeah, and
Friday
maybe if
night.
You're lucky, you could go. Why don't you go see Jim John Belushi's buried there on
is he in Providence?
He's in Nantucket Island, I think.
Really?
Nantucket,
how
Providence.
Far is that?
It's right there. He might be in Providence.
Somebody recently posted on Facebook photos at the Belushi. I guess the family's buried together. Yes. Mom and dad and him.
Dan Aykroyd has the house there. He does.
Why are you talking like a gay guy? What's going on?
What do you mean?
I'm
getting you ready for the weekend.
Is that what happens in Providence, Rhode
You're
Island?
Not kidding, boy.
There's a lot of gay
Maybe
people?
You see what happens. Oh, my God, yes.
Oh.
Providence is probably the third or fourth largest gay population in the country. You have New York, Key
You
West,
do it so well, Peter.
San Francisco,
you know, it's very believable.
San Francisco, Providence, Long Island. It's really beautiful there, and you're gonna.
What was the thing on the? What
are you staying in a bed and breakfast?
No,
B and B, balls and balls and more balls. B and B.
Yeah,
that's funny. I stay in the B and B. When you come back, when you're gonna see, you'll write some material. Like, yeah, I stay in the B and B, balls and balls.
Yeah, button.
Write that down now, bro.
No, I'm gonna
come
put
on.
Button balls, okay? Huh? Button balls. Yeah. I stayed at a B&B. I didn't know it was a gay place. Button balls.
Button balls, right.
Yeah.
So we wrote a joke together.
Yeah.
We have witnesses now.
We co-wrote that one. I polished up the punch.
I'll just change it to, I went to Key West for the week and stayed at a B&B. Button balls. That's funny shit.
Yeah. I thought it was like bed and breakfast.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know. But no, I'm saying, I think it's a Walt. I don't know. It's a nice hotel. And I'm flying one way from a JetBlue.
You are lucky, boy. Wow. From what airport?
Fort Lauderdale to Providence, whatever. So that's Friday night, and we're excited about that. Now, but hey, by the way, are you in town on July 4th? We've got 4th of July weekend next weekend.
Mm-hmm.
You in town?
Me, personally? Yeah.
No, you're fucking, you know.
Of course I'm in town. Where am I going, man?
All right. Well, we may try to put a little 4th of July party here in the house.
Well, I got a great idea.
Do you?
Why don't you come, because my band is playing at the Whale Raw Bar, so why don't you have your party at the Whale Raw Bar, and my band will play for free for you, and we'll charge them the $300.
Okay.
How's that?
Yeah, that sounds...
And then you get the place dirty.
Yeah, I don't have to worry about cleaning up.
Right, you have your party. Dude, you know how many times I've done that? Had a fuck... You have your party, that somebody... Fuck that. Have a party. It's a fucking house, man.
We already have a band.
Yeah.
You know what? I will come by. I want to get a couple songs, if you don't mind. I'd like to sing with the band.
Yeah, absolutely. We're open to it, because we can pull up just about anything
right
with the computer, man.
Yeah, I want to do
the
that
beauty of all that shit, man.
Yeah,
I love
so
that thing.
That's gonna be cool. And
are you inviting your listeners over for July 4th or
listeners, if you're in Parkland area, come to the Whale's
the Whale Rib,
the Whale Rib on 441 north of Hillsborough Boulevard,
Whale Raw Bar.
And what time does it start, Peter Leonard?
6 to 10.
All right.
In fact, you know, July 4th actually is week from Saturday. I think I'm playing this coming Saturday. I think I'm off July 4th. So, you know, we'll move the party back to your house.
Well, you know, the wife's out of town. The wife's going with the family to Atlanta. And
why?
They're just going away together. You know, they got family and friends in Atlanta. And they're all going. And, you know, because of the dog, somebody's got to be home. And since this is one of the weekends I'm not working.
Right.
Because I'm going to be on the road pretty much most of July and August.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to be pretty cool.
Right.
But, you know, knowing that, my wife says, okay, I'm going away. So I'm going to be home.
She's all by myself,
Thursday through Sunday, baby.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? It's going to be...
what weekends will she be home alone, by the way?
Yeah, well, I'll leave that undisclosed, perverted fuck. Calm down.
Hey, did she get all upset about that whole dog thing and eating the dogs in China? They had that dog fest.
Did you see that?
The dog fest.
They, two things. There's been a lot of news about this in the last few days about... And I don't want to talk about it because, to me, it just gets me upset.
Had you talked on the air about it? Do listeners know what they were talking about?
Now, in China, there's a festival.
Yes.
And what they do is they actually slaughter, strangle, mangle, torture dogs on the streets.
Now, however, what you're not including is the fact that these could be
family
wild dogs or family dogs. They could catch your dog, your family dog, and catch it.
It's like a kennel fucking, you know, what do they call that? The purge. It's like a purge for dogs.
Right.
And cats.
Yeah.
And I don't know if it was from that, but on Facebook, somebody posted, again, these fucking assholes on Facebook. They posted a photo of this pit bull attacking, like, this shaggy-type dog, like a Benji-looking dog in the streets of somewhere. and the dog's wide open, open wounds, and the dog, you can tell the dog is still reacting to getting bit, like trying to defend itself.
Right.
And this pit bull's just whipping it around, and the people are just walking on the street watching this shit. If I would have been on the street, I would have grabbed my gun and shot the fucking pit bull.
Yeah, there's no question.
You know what I mean?
But then they would have eaten the pit bull anyway, so it doesn't matter. What they were doing was, you know, it's a celebration. They eat these fucking dogs, man.
Yeah.
They eat dogs. It's just horrific. It's so terrible. But you know what? It's culture. It's their culture.
Yeah, but how come, let me ask you, I don't know, it's not like, is it an annual festival or is it like a centennial festival?
No,
so how come we didn't last year hear about this? Is it just because we now have new people on the streets that are actually be able to report this fucking shit?
No, actually it was Woping, the new restaurant on University Drive. No. They wanted to have it.
Now here's the thing you want to ask yourself.
Why are they doing it in China? We can't do it here.
Now you want to ask yourself, there's obviously there's overpopulation in China.
Right. Dogs
people,
or people?
Period. Okay. So that's what I'm saying. Overpopulation of people. So you got to imagine that since the people are that irresponsible when it comes to that, that the dogs, there must be tons and tons of fucking dogs roaming the streets of China.
Yeah.
Right. So it's almost like a deer hunt, right? In a sense. But, you know, to watch animals just be tortured. And then, I mean, what sick fuck? You know, I don't care. You know, is this how embedded this tradition is? You know, here we are in this country talking about a Confederate flag being taken off a state building, which anybody ask, I'm all for. Who the fuck?
Totally.
You know?
We don't need that there.
If you want one, put it in front of your house. Let everybody know who you are.
Right.
Right. Let everybody know your stance.
And leave a box of matches out there.
No, listen. I'm not going to oppose anything. If people that want to celebrate the Confederate flag, God will, let them do whatever they fucking want. Carry the flag, this and that, you know, but if you kill somebody in the name of it, that's different. But, you know what I mean? Do whatever the fuck you want. Who gives a shit? Put it on the back of your pickup truck. I don't give a fuck.
Right.
You know, just like, I'm not going to tell Mexicans not to put Mexican flags all over their Ford F-150s. Do whatever the fuck you want. I don't give a shit. You know what I mean? But the state building, you know, here in this country, okay, we're not going to have that.
Right.
Right, but tradition in China, no, we let the town mangle and kill a bunch of fucking dogs. It gets everybody, you know, they may need that shit because people in China, they're so fucking packed together.
Yeah.
Everybody must have bad tempers. You think there's bad shit here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, road rage is building because in China, decades ago, not everybody had cars.
It's bicycle rage.
Everybody's running around.
They call it bike rage.
Everybody's on the bike.
Rickshaw rage.
Yeah, rickshaw rage. So you've seen this shit. You've seen video from streets in China where cars just literally go around back and forth.
Right.
And
they got to run over people left and right.
People get hit. Nobody gives a fuck. They keep going.
Uh-huh.
You know, there's a billion fucking people over there.
Yeah, dude, that's your joke with the fucking Chinese sketch artist, police sketch artist. What do you look like? How the fuck do you draw that? But it's true.
Yeah, that's why I'm very impressed that Alibaba, the company Alibaba, whose CEO, chairman Jack Ma, you know, with all the money they made, he
from Wichita.
His name. No, he's from China.
Jack Ma.
Oh, Ma. But he, you know, they changed after all the money from the IPO. His name is Jack Pot.
I
understand the. But this guy, you know, now they have face. Can you imagine they created face recognition?
Yeah.
On the Alibaba site,
mm-hmm.
They could fucking a face really Asian. They did this in Asia. That's a fucking pretty big accomplishment.
Wow, you know, they've also invented the noodle. So what?
Yeah,
spaghetti. I think that's bigger than life.
Unfortunately, the retinal.
What's bigger, spaghetti or race recognition?
Unfortunately, the retinal scan was not working. They keep having issues with the retinal
scan. That's so fucking funny, man.
Anyway, this is the Wake Up Late with Dougie Show, and I'm here with Peter Leonard today.
I had a really good time. Thanks so much.
That's right. And we'll be back with more of the show and straight from the headlines. A lot of fucked up stories today.
Oh, boy. Some funny shit, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah. Stay tuned, please.
That's right. We'll be right back.
And we're back to the Wake Up Late with Dougie Show.
How much is that doggy in the window? The one with the wackily chair. How much is that doggy in the window? I do hope that doggy's for sale. I must take a trip to California. and leave my poor sweetheart alone. If he has a dog, he won't be lonesome, and the doggy will have a good home. How much is that doggy in the window? The one with the waggly tail. How much is that doggy in the window? I do hope that doggy's for sale.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Late with Dougie Show. I'm Dougie Almeida, and here with Peter Leonard.
I want to walk your dog for you. Walk your dog with a W-O-K.
I opened up a Chinese dog walking service. Never got one customer.
Yeah.
Anyway, welcome back to the show. I forgot to tell you guys, by the way, this is the WEI Network and, of course, IRN, Internet Radio Network, where we come to you Tuesday through Thursday with all new shows from 10 a.m. to 12 p.m. This ain't no pussy podcast.
That's right, ladies and gentlemen.
And on Mondays, we have Encore Mondays on IRN. Where the most listened to show from the week previously or the week prior gets to listen to the show again. You vote by going to wakeuplatewithdougieshow.podbean.com.
Mm-hmm.
Make comments or just listen to the show. The most listened to show is replayed on Monday at IRN. And, of course, we've got a lot of new listeners because they've checked out on IRN.
And you can win $500. You didn't tell them that part.
No, I'm actually going to get to something. Our crowdfunding, I don't know if you know about this yet. But,
sure, I don't.
On Fridays, we have the best of all time. We have over 360-something episodes.
Really?
Wake Up Late with Dougie Show on wakeuplatewithdougieshow.podbean.com. Of course, you can listen to us on Stitcher and iTunes. But on that website is all our going back on there. So a lot of people are like, holy shit, this is a lot of good shows. So that's best of all time on Fridays on IRN. From 10 to 12. But now we have it, we're going to do we're raising some money here at the Wake Up Late with Dougie Show, and we need our listeners' support. Because if you go to...
You got polio. Did you tell them
you
got polio?
I don't have polio.
But I go, what do you have?
No.
Why are you limping like that?
But if you go to the site, wakeuplatewithdougieshow.podbean.com, and click on the loyal listener and be a patron button on the right side of the site, we're raising money because we're going to do our own web series. We had spoken about remember the old TV show WKRP?
Yeah.
And I thought it'd be fun to actually write our own little web series and call it Waking Up Late with Dougie and have everybody on the cast.
Mm-hmm.
I'll give it a little taste of what we're starting to do. Tim, myself, John Levine, we were writing some stuff about how we could take certain people from the show and also even from the local comedy scene and make a spoof on Seinfeld.
I'm not involved in this.
Well, we might make you like George's father or something. You know what I mean? We're trying to find your. But we're gonna shoot that. Make it like a little, because we got people like the fat guy Felber, Wayne Felber, the comedian from Palm Beach.
Oh Jesus!
Yeah. Well, we're gonna make him we're gonna make him Newman.
Oh yeah.
So he's gonna come to the front door, outside my front door, and I'm gonna go Felber. You know what I mean?
Hello.
And he's gonna go. Dougie.
Hello.
Dougie. Yeah. So, we're going to have people fill in those roles, and it's going to be a lot of fun. That's one of the episodes. But we got a lot of stuff. So we're raising money.
Yeah.
And all you need to do, if you listen to the show, is a minimum of $1 a month can help us generate our goal of $1,000.
They mail that to you in like four quarters?
No, it
ten
just comes,
dimes?
Once it comes in, it comes through a PayPal donation system, however they pay it. And, find out.
For $10, for Christ's
No, that's,
sake.
No.
$5?
Listen, we
a
got.
$1 a week.
We got a lot of listeners. So even if half of them gave us a buck a month, that would be a pretty good amount.
Listen, I had my foot chopped off. Remember 4 years ago when I went on Facebook, I said I need $5 from all my friends. I had 2,500 friends. How much I got? $40.
Well, we're talking about you here. We're not talking about our show. The show has a lot more,
I have a lot of problems.
We bring a lot more value to the table.
You do?
Yeah, we do. I think we do here on the show.
You are entertainment.
Yeah, this is, by the way, so go to our website and check it out. You can make a donation one time, whatever.
I'll donate $1 right now.
Yeah. Well,
I'm going to ask you for $5 back for gas every fucking week.
That's what I'm trying to do. I want to do that. So we want to put cameras in here so then we can move the show to like have even live you streaming at certain times a week. Yeah, we have a special show for our listeners where we live stream with everybody here in the studio.
Better have a
camera
on now doing jumping jacks. No. Supposed to be injured.
Yeah. So
that's a good idea.
So that's what we're trying to fund and build there. So
fundme.com. What's it under?
Well, it's under. Go to wakeuplatewithdougieshow.podbean.com. Search the right side for be our patrons, loyal listeners kind of thing. And check
with
it out.
A dollar sign on it? The icon with the
dollar sign? No, there's an emblem that says
with the little guy
patron,
begging?
Be our patron. No, I'm not a beggar. You know, do if you can. You know, that's it.
That's the thing. Listen, are you kidding me for a dollar? You write a check for $12 and just mail it in. You know, that's a whole year.
Right.
Get it out of the fucking way. $12, that's four. That's not even four. That's three Starbucks coffees, Doug.
Yeah.
Three Starbucks coffees to be able to listen to the Wake Up Late with Dougie show.
That's what I'm saying. Even if you said $5 a month, come on.
Isn't that insane?
That's like the cheapest cable bill.
How about a cup of coffee?
Now, if you don't listen to us, I'm like, but if you're somebody who's been listening to us and getting enjoyment out of it, come on. Think about it.
Well, if they don't listen to you, then how do they know about
because
they're even talking to them right now?
Because, we've been doing the show a long time, and, I don't know how long the cohesiveness of the hosts.
Right.
You've been around forever. Lenny has, but even Lenny's getting, he can't rely on him because he's busy.
Right.
I got to, and thanks to, Tim Hanlon, John, Tim's always busy. John's really steady. Minda can, so.
Was she here?
If no one's getting paid, if it's costing me money to run the show, and either we got to take it somewhere else or eventually we may have to say goodbye to the show.
Oh, Christ.
So if you're enjoying the show, think about that.
I'm going to have to do that soon anyway, man.
Yeah.
I get a legitimate job. It's going to be tough.
Well, we could figure out times. Trust me.
Yeah.
We can replace you, Peter Leonard. But you know what? Some of our fans.
Let me replace
some of our fans enjoy you.
I'd like to find out who. Now, they're single and have tits.
Well, you just got to go to wakeuplatewithdougieshow.podbean.com. Well, I don't think it shows how many people. If somebody from the outside goes to that site, they don't see how many times they've been listening.
I'm going to post on your thing and go, hey, if you're a single chick who loves the show and listens to me on Wednesdays and wants to meet me, I'd love to meet you.
Yeah,
I
can't
really
wait
would.
To see the response.
So would I.
Yeah.
And I'll get, and it'll probably be this. What's her name?
Caitlin.
Vagina, yeah.
Caitlin.
Vagener.
Vagener.
Yeah.
Peter, Vagener. I listen to you on the show, Peter, and I like you. I think you're kind of cute.
Oh, God. It's just,
now,
thank God that hysteria is almost over.
But yeah.
They're starting, he's got his own show coming up soon.
Yeah.
Well, some cable fucking thing.
That'll be interesting. Again, when I was at the gym the other morning, there was a guy on this treadmill watching the fucking Keeping Up with the Kardashians.
Oh, God.
So I couldn't help when I walked by him at the machine. I go, hey, you keeping up with the Kardashians, huh?
Yeah, what do you say?
He just gave me a look.
Yeah, I'll bet. First of all, you just watch that show to look for glimpses of Kim's ass and tits because she's just so beautiful, dude. And you can't believe that rear end is real. I don't particularly like it. I think it's just ridiculously huge. Hey, do you hear your boy? What's his name? Got in trouble, man. P. Diddy got arrested yesterday.
Did he?
Yes, he did for threatening some coach, his kid's football coach at UCLA, threatened him with a kettlebell. You've seen a kettlebell?
Yeah.
You know how big heavy those things are?
Yeah.
They fucking came and arrested him, locked him up.
He says, I'm going to knock you the fuck out with this thing?
Yeah, what do you mean you redshirted my? You redshirted my son. My son don't wear red. What the fuck did that mean, you red shirt, my boy? You get him on that football field right now.
Hmm. Is that what happened? His son was getting kicked off the team?
He was red shirted. He's a freshman.
Yeah. And let's
he's not a great ball player.
Let's explain to people what red shirt means. If you go out for a collegiate sport and you don't make the roster, you get red shirted so you don't lose that year of eligibility.
Right.
So even though you trained with the team or something like that, you still have four more years of, collegiate
and
sports
he's a freshman.
To play.
Don't forget the fact that he had like a .4 average or some shit, He got
what do you mean I need to read?
Yeah, I got a D in home ec. That's good, isn't it?
Yeah.
I could scramble that egg.
That means dandy.
He scrambled. I mean, he's dumb. D for dumb. D-U-M-E dumb.
Straight from the headlines with Dougie Almeida.
Thanks, Hiram. It's that time of day where we're going to review some of the happenings around the world, town, whatever hell. You know what I'm saying?
You should play the song The Happening, which is a great 60s song.
Yeah.
The Happening. It was like a lot of horns.
Well, why don't we?
Ba-da-ba,
maybe we'll record a new promo for the Straight from the Headline segment.
But you got to have the headlights because he's there for sure.
Yeah. Here's a story. In Florida, actually in the Jacksonville area, woman arrested after fight with mother over chicken and biscuits.
Chicken and biscuits? What about the gravy?
In Bunnell, Florida, deputies say a woman has been charged with domestic battery after she and her mother got into an argument over chicken and biscuits. The Daytona Beach News Journal reports 31-year-old Kristen Michelle Howard was arrested Friday. Authorities say the Flagler County Sheriff's Office was called to a mobile home park. A surprise! In the Bunnell, around 11:30 p.m., deputies say Howard's mother, Kimberly Miller, accused her of coming home drunk and angry and making a plate of chicken and biscuits. Authorities say Miller and Howard argued over who owned the food. Well, you're living in a fucking trailer park. I mean, yeah. You got to have something of value.
Well,
those are my chicken and biscuits, goddammit.
Yeah, she'd already eaten all the Ritz crackers.
And Howard punched her mother in the face. In the face!
Wow.
And threw tea on her. Ooh, that's... Boy, talk about...
You know, hot tea or was it sweet tea?
Yeah, it was the Arizona tea.
No, I asked you for the diet. I want raspberry. No sweet tea. I don't want no sweet tea.
Why you throwing that raspberry tea on me? You know I'm a diet.
Wow. Court records show this is Howard's sixth battery arrest since February of 2008. Okay. Now, let me get back to my room. You know about my room, right? People have no value and shit. This is a candidate for the room.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. This person obviously can't get along with people. She's
2008 is 7 years.
Over 7 years. Six times. So once a year, she's getting arrested for battery. Well, so this woman cannot go well in society.
No.
And I'm going to get a guess that where she's staying and based on the photo and her record, that this woman really isn't bringing any value to anybody.
None whatsoever.
Right? So put her in the room. This is my week, this vote. Get this fucking woman in the room. Punches her mother in the fucking face.
I'd bet you dollars to donuts they have satellite TV, though.
You think?
They have to. You can't run cable in there, can you? In a trailer park. You got to have that satellite.
Ugh. I'm looking at her. I want to punch her in the face.
What's she look like? She got a tooth?
No, she's...
Toofuses?
She's got like that little short hairdo, and it's dark but white blonde highlights.
Oh, that trailer
trash.
And
she's got that fucking face, that look on her face. You know,
that trailer trash look. She looked like a
knock her in the teeth.
She probably looked like a
puncher.
Meth.
Yeah,
bitch.
No, she doesn't look all. She just looks like somebody just like ugh, you know, like somebody just like always mad.
Yeah,
always pissed. Like ugh, you know, when you walk by in public, they're like, you know, oh, you know, this is my cart.
That's
now,
a Miller genuine draft girl, right? Is that a genuine draft girl?
I don't know what you're talking about.
You know, Miller.
Don't
Miller
talk
beer.
Like that. She's like an idiot.
Miller beer.
What? Jacksonville.
Fucking.
I'm knock her in the fucking mouth. You know, instead of a purge.
Yeah.
Once a month, we should be able to just knock somebody the fuck out. For no reason. We have no explanation to
Well,
it.
Well, they do that in the streets in New York. They were going through that for a while. And that
well,
was
no,
too...
we're talking about people that, you know, not just to do it. How good would it be that once a month, you can just, you know, without any recourse, just go up to somebody and just knock them the fuck out. You know what I mean?
Turn around.
Turn
around.
Yeah, I'm going to need to turn around.
The month start?
Hmm.
When does the month start? No, I think that's violent, you know.
As I get older, I'm becoming more, things that get me, like now I just turn my, like, ugh. After I finish this story, I'm going to remember there was something recently, something happened, and I said something, and somebody said something. I just kept walking. Staying in Florida, of course, Tampa man accused of drowning rabbit has expensive criminal history.
What happened?
Stephen R. Rod's life has gone very wrong in recent years. In 2011, he was sentenced to 3 years in federal prison for aiding the $300 million Ponzi scheme run by Lou Pearlman, the boy band impresario who created the Backstreet Boys. I heard about that. You know, that guy, that really, right? He put together the Backstreet Boys and he put together this $300 million Ponzi scheme as well. After Rod got out in August, he told a judge he couldn't support his wife and three kids. 3 months ago, he lost his job as a cash for gold salesman.
cash for gold.
How bad is it going to be? How bad would it be? Like, I've had people call me. They're like, you know, by the way, you know, we're paying this on gold. You know, if you have any gold, I'm like, dude, what are you fucking kidding me? Mm. I get rid of my own gold. I need your help.
Right.
Oh, we get good prices. Yeah, who pays you for fucking calling me, you idiot?
Dummy.
Well, recently, his wife said they separated. Well, when you had that kind of job. Then on Friday, Hillsborough County deputy said Rod stood at the edge of the Vista Inn and Suites pool, holding a white bunny rabbit.
Mm-hmm.
Rod, 49, dropped the rabbit into the pool, deputy said. He stood there for 2 minutes watching, then he walked away. The rabbit drowned.
Oh, my God.
Now Rod is in the county jail, held without bond, on a charge of aggravated cruelty to animals.
Why? He's supposed to give them a... If how old was the rabbit? That's it for water wings or something?
No, I didn't know rabbits couldn't swim, though.
I didn't know that either.
Yeah.
A stupid rabbit.
I mean, you know, do you think the guy said, hey, that's his defense. I thought it could fucking swim.
Yeah.
I thought the thumper would just, you know, like paddle its way out. But that's cruel, man.
Now, who was watching?
And by the way,
who
why did the cop jump in the fucking water
and take the rabbit?
And take the fucking rabbit.
He's wearing his gun and his gun belt.
Ugh.
They want to
get my new shoes. I don't want to get them dirty.
My handcuffs might have gotten rusty.
The incident took place around 9 a.m. and was captured by the motel security cameras. Rod was arrested later that day, so the cop must not have been there. Mm. The rabbit stopped struggling in the water after approximately 2 minutes, and the suspect walked away, according to a Hillsborough County Sheriff's Office report.
Jesus Christ.
The rabbit was later discovered floating in the kettle.
Yeah.
No, the rabbit was later floating in the pool by a guest, the report said, and removed by motel staff.
At first, they thought it was suicide, you know. Did you read that part of the story?
No.
Yeah, the rabbit was very despondent.
Yeah. Wasn't enough carrots in his life. Vista Inn manager
losing
Matt,
his eyesight, and he couldn't figure out why.
Yeah. My father used to say that. You know, if you eat carrots, you don't go blind. I go like,
Dan,
you never see, you never see a rabbit with glasses. I'm like, yeah, but I never saw one reading a book either, Dad.
Mm. That's funny.
Yeah.
You were funny even back then.
Yeah, I tried.
Sarah, is that how you started your career?
You're going to keep interrupting me?
No, I'm asking you a question. Were you smart as a kid? Were you funny as a kid? Like,
I was always, witty kind of guy who would make a comment
school,
here and there.
Wise ass in school.
I'll give you an example of that. Me and my good friend, Eddie.
Come back to the story.
Me and my good friend, Eddie, walk in. We're in middle school,
mm-hmm.
and we had a substitute teacher, so we walked in late. You know, we walk in, walking in one by one. Lady says, "You're tardy." I go, "No, I'm Doug. He's Eddie." Class freaked
good.
Out.
That's
teacher
funny.
Hated us, of course.
You're tardy.
The Sarah Swat said deputies told him more dead rabbits were found around the motel at 400 East Bears Avenue. One rabbit was found in a Macy's bag, and another was found in a nearby field.
How many rabbits did he kill in total?
There's two right there, three. But a sheriff spokesman said she had no information about other dead rabbits. Rod was also linked to rabbits by a Tampa police report filed on June 5th. The report said backyard breeder sold 5 rabbits to Rod, but when 2 other rabbits disappeared, the breeder called police. What the fuck has this guy got against rabbits?
I don't know.
His wife probably left him while he was watching Bugs Bunny.
Yeah, I was going to say, Elmer,
gold.
Big Elmer Fudd fan. Yeah. Big Elmer Fudd guy.
Oh, yeah, that's a wee rabbit.
Yes, I'm a hunter for the rabbit.
You sell a gold. This is Elmer Fudd.
Perlman is now serving 25-year sentence for masterminding a scheme. Oh, okay. The report said that Rod admitted to stealing the rabbits and returned them. No charges were filed. The Tampa police report did not disclose the whereabouts of the remaining rabbits.
Huh.
Perlman is
one's
now
in a pool.
Yeah. Perlman is now serving a 25-year sentence of masterminding a scheme that fleeced 1,000 investors out of at least $300 million and possibly as much as $500 million.
Now, where's all that money? And he's in jail. That's what I want to know.
Yeah, his pitchman in Tampa was Rod. He sold $32 million worth of Perlman's fake securities to elderly investors in Hillsborough, Pasco, and Pinellas counties. Those investors did not know that the state had barred Rod from selling securities in 1998 and 2003.
Jesus Christ. These guys just keep going and going, don't they?
Yep.
The rich get richer. How old is now this guy Berylsman? What is that his name? He's got to be in his 70s, right? So who gives a fuck?
Yeah, he kind of looks like a Bobby Kent.
Doesn't he?
Bobby Kent was at the. By the way, I understand that there's no more open mics at that bar. Mike Panzeca had his open mics at that bar.
Yeah,
so that's canceled.
What happened there?
I don't know. I there was a post something about the owners didn't know how to treat or talk to talent. You know.
Was there any there?
What owners?
Talent.
You know,
the comedians. You mean? Oh, okay.
Yeah. You know, hey, listen.
I'm kidding.
It's hard running a venue than dealing with people.
Right.
Well, when I was at Starlight Lounge, somebody had come up to me who has a venue. They ask, "I want to do the show. I want to do a comedy show." Yeah. What's your budget? He goes, $150. I'm like, yeah.
Right. Good luck.
Good luck with that.
I'll do it.
Yeah. Go do it. I'm gonna let somebody else do it. I mean, if I'm gonna do a venue like that, I'm gonna take the $150.
Right.
And I'm just gonna get four. I'm gonna book a few people. Mm-hmm. Maybe give a host $50. Keep the $100 for myself.
Right.
And that's it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm not going to show up there. I'm not going to do anything. I'm just going to somebody else run it.
Right.
$150.
Kidding me.
I mean, the look I gave the guy when he said that, it's not my interest.
Right. $150. That's a big budget.
So at any rate, the judge and I, let's see. Blah, blah, blah. Anyway, fuck this guy. Kills rabbits. What's next?
You know what I mean? Story about the guy who was killing the turtles.
What?
I'm just kidding.
Totally. Oh, this is, while we're on the subject of murder, it's amazing. You know, the thing that's always amazing to me when you hear stories that, you know, again, you don't, like, here's a guy that kills rabbits. Well, that's the beginning of, he's going to start killing people eventually at this point. How fucked up can you be? Man allegedly murders boss, assumes control of the business.
Wow, that's what happened to J. Paul Getty, huh?
Actually, and again, in Jacksonville.
Oh, see, it's a big town for crime.
Jacksonville, Florida, a local man has been charged with murder in the death of his boss and allegedly assumed control of his business after burying him in a shallow grave on the south side of Jacksonville in December of last year.
Wow. December, and it took him this long to charge him? What happened?
Richard Green, 44, of Jacksonville, allegedly killed Clyde King for economic... It's not good to be king.
No.
For economic reasons, and then buried him in a shallow grave on the 11,000 block of St. John's Industrial Parkway.
Hmm.
Green was the only employee of 72-year-old King at his business, King's Lawn Service. How can that be?
Only employee.
Everybody else, they just gathered up. Yeah.
What?
No, they just hired, you know, Mexicans and people.
Oh, right. You think they did that?
Yeah. Well, one guy is going to do all this yard work?
Well, he probably only had 3 clients.
No wonder he killed them. Fuck, let me hire somebody.
Right.
King's Lawn Service, according to authorities, after King was murdered, Green assumed control of his lawn care business. JSO originally announced to media that they were investigating decomposed human remains at a shallow grave over there in South Side.
Hmm.
Police said the remains were found by Green's patrol officer. Green is a registered sex predator and wears a GPS tracking device on his ankle.
Wow, they can track him right to the place, probably, huh?
Well, the guy he buried, he didn't take his fucking ankle off him. He didn't take his fucking ankle thing off.
Oh, my God. That's brilliant, huh?
Leave that on. He probably got his hands all over trying to take it off. P.O. noticed the Green went to the south side and went to that location there. He saw a shallow grave. From King's remains, medical examiners were able to pull an implanted defibrillator and download the logs. The logs took note of a cardiac incident within King's heart. Doctors then determined that the cause of death was brought on by suffocation or smothering.
Oh, my God. They have it's like the black box. When a plane goes down, they dig for this guy had a fucking pacemaker.
It's like a LoJack.
Is that a riot? And they just take it out of his chest. They download the info.
Also says here that he jerked off 2 times before he
died. I
heard
he had a camera in his asshole.
Yeah.
What did the pictures say?
Yeah, it's a rear entry.
Right.
The PO then assisted police in mapping Green's movements through the GPS tracker. The map created lined up with King's defibrillator's last logged event on the morning of December 4th of 2014. Green was with King, who originally said he found the body in King's home.
See, he was the guy with the fucking ankle bracelet on, the guy who killed him.
Yeah.
Not the other guy.
Police said they believe Green smothered King. Green is also facing 10 charges of fraud and theft in addition to murder charge. Well, like it matters then. If you got me on murder, you think I give a fuck about fraud?
Right.
You know, just add another 5 years.
Yeah, and you know what else? He also didn't return somebody's lawnmower.
Yeah, can you imagine how many people's grass is like growing like fucking crazy? Yeah.
What
out in Jacksonville.
Hey, where's our guy?
Our guy? He was a pretty hard worker.
Yeah, where's our guy, man?
I miss him.
Mexicans.
Now, I'm wondering, if we were out back before the show, our grass is getting pretty high. I'm like, where the
What's
hell are they at?
That,
you know,
where's your guy?
Come on, man.
Where are they?
I don't know.
We've had a lot of sunlight down here in Florida, man. It's very hot as balls.
I got to get my pool checked for the leak. I got to have a leak. I'm filling up my pool every fucking week.
You say that every week. 2 years I've been here.
We had a leak at one time, and I fixed it, and then...
Well, obviously not.
Well, then it went away, and now, you know... But I got to get it re-diamond-brighted. I got to...
Buy some more gum. Put a piece of gum in that hole.
Get some, like, stucco.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, bad news, Dick Van Patten from 8 is Enough.
Wow, he had enough, I guess, huh?
Yeah, he had enough.
Enough air?
Yeah. Dies at 86.
That's a long life.
He was the family patriarch of the ABC show 8 is Enough. Remember.
Did you watch that show?
Meredith Maxter Burney was on that show.
Was she? Are you sure?
Yeah.
I don't think
she was a daughter or something.
Was she?
No, she was the mother on Family Ties. Family Ties.
Yeah, she's a lesbian now.
Is she?
Yeah.
She was probably then, but didn't know.
Well, they all are, but don't know it.
And as you say, as most lesbians should say,
we'll lick this thing together.
There you go. The soft-spoken actor died Tuesday morning at St. John's Hospital in Santa Monica due to complications from diabetes. He was also the king in Spaceballs.
Right. He's also in another Mel Brooks movie, High Anxiety, and he played one of the doctors who, you know, died in the car when the, you know, with his eardrums burst because the radio was too loud.
Right.
A really funny fucking scene.
High Anxiety.
Hey, anxiety.
Yeah.
Mel Brooks is in the news a lot lately. He's looking old as fuck.
Yeah. Well, back to this guy before.
Yeah, talk about Dick.
His survivors include his wife of 62 years, Pat, a former June Taylor dancer, sons Nels, Jimmy, and Vincent.
Vincent,
tennis player, and of course, he is a, how do you say, a commentator on the World Poker Tour.
Vince Van Patten is?
Yeah.
I didn't know that, man.
Yeah.
Wow.
He's pretty good. He's good on that. He kind of adds a little bit of looseness and funniness.
Uh-huh.
And the other guy is, you know, Mike Saxton.
Yeah. This is Mike Saxton, where says all pots are big and all.
And his father's such a stiff.
Yeah.
Dick Van Patten, his father's such a stiff.
At any rate.
Did you watch that show, though? Who was the kid on the Adam Rich? He had that, the bowl haircut and shit. I didn't watch the show, man. It was too pure for me.
Yeah, I wasn't a big favorite of that.
Eight is enough. I think it was a chick thing, right?
And, you know, those old family shows.
I don't.
There was so many fucking people involved.
Hate
like eight people in a fucking family.
I hate people.
All loving each other.
I hate that. They don't love each other. They tolerate each other.
They should call eight faking it.
You know what they should? You know what? In the meantime, they'll find out it was like the Duggars. The kid is fucking and his sisters and everything.
Well, listen, don't go crazy. Didn't it just terminate this? He felt the leg and stuff a little bit.
Felt their leg a little bit.
He didn't bang his sister.
No, but he had a little sniff on the poo-poo.
So what? I mean, you know what? Huh? I mean, you know, what guy hasn't gotten hard over his hot sister?
Hang down on the sling down.
Yeah, I don't have any sisters, so I couldn't vouch for that.
Is that,
you know? Yeah. I mean, if you're at a certain age, you got to ask yourself, really?
Really what? Can I grab my sister's pussy?
Yeah.
Is that what you want to ask yourself?
Well, no, I could say this. I remember when I was growing up, we used to play show and tell, right, when you were kids. And there was a girl down the street, and her brother would, you know, we'd be in the pool, and it'd be her, and you know, she'd show her, you know, gash, you know, and I'd pull out my little dick, you know.
Right.
And her brother would pull out her dick. She'd look. You know, we're all sitting there going, ooh, you know what the fuck you're doing.
Yeah, that was last week.
Unfortunately, it was about a month ago.
Yeah.
Here's a woman that's got some interesting scruples. A Florida woman took selfies during sex with dog inside grandma's house.
Wow.
And she has a face like a fucking pit bull.
Well, first of all, I got to tell you something. If it was a dog she rescued from like Shanghai, I'm all for it.
Yeah, imagine the difference. All this poor dog's getting killed and this dog's getting banged by this fat whore.
Right. Imagine that dog on Facebook. Facebooking his fucking cousin in China.
What are you doing?
He's got a Beijing cousin. Right. What are you up to? Oh, I'm fucking this chick, bro. Yeah. What about you? I got agents with fucking hacks with what do they call those with hatchet.
I'm hanging from chicken wire.
Right, they're trying to fucking make me into some kind of Szechuan meal dinner here, sweet and sour dog.
I'm running from a man with a machete. What are you doing? I'm banging some fat white chick. A Florida woman admitted to taking selfies as she had sex with her pit bull inside her grandmother's house.
Did she use a selfie stick, or was she?
I imagine. Ashley Miller, 18, was charged with two counts of sexual activities involving animals after Bradenton investigators found the graphic photos stashed on her cell phone. The 18-year-old coaxed her dog, a two-face, into licking her vagina between 30 and 40 times over the past 5 years.
Now, 30 or 40 times each time? Because that wouldn't get her off, would it?
I mean, it's just one lick. I mean, come on. The dog probably went, ugh.
Not when she's shoving Alpo in her pussy.
Yeah. Put a little kibbles and bits in there.
Right. No, that has to chew for that. The Alpo, it's, you know, you just use the tongue.
She also admitted to making her previous dog a pit bull. At least she sticks with one. A Rottweiler mix named Scarface to perform oral sex on her, too.
Somebody better lick it.
And then, you know, it's funny, the cat was in the corner jerking off.
Yeah. Cat's over there.
Right, and they're all charging people.
Yeah. Even the parakeet's like going nuts.
Yeah.
Miller told cops that Two-Face lives at her grandmother's house in Bradenton. Each time she wanted to have sex with the dog, she'd lock herself in a bedroom, take off her pants, and call Two-Face over. The poor fucking dog.
Yeah.
No,
yeah.
Not again. Not again. The pup would put her snout into her vagina. On her on her, where is, the pup would put her snout into her vagina on her own without Miller forcing her into the act.
She wanted it.
It was consensual, yeah.
The teen claimed Miller said that that's where the sex ended.
You know what?
She never touched Two-Face sexually, she said.
I got news for you. You know she's going to get date next, the guy who was fucking the dolphin.
Yeah.
That'll be her next boyfriend.
What a couple.
Oh, God.
One of her family members was always inside the house, Miller said, but they were unaware of what was happening in the bedroom. But they always wondered how come the dog smelled like fish. During the last two of the oral sexual sessions, Miller snapped photos of the pup licking her vagina. Cops discovered the puppy porn in two hidden folders on Miller's phone, one tilted Two-Face Fun and the other tilted me.
Oh, my God. Now, the grandmother was upset. You know why?
Because
she was taking up the ass from the dog, and, you know, she was a little bit jealous. That she's, what do you mean? You licking their pussy, all you do is fuck me in the ass? That's terrible.
While the sex had been going on for at least 5 years, less than 10 of the acts happened after Miller turned 18.
No, less than 10.
Two-Face showed no signs of injury.
Yeah.
When a vet checked her out, Miller is scheduled for arraignment next month. Why?
In the meantime, she went to the gynecologist. She had the cleanest vagina that she's ever seen. How the fuck do you keep your pussy so clean?
You have no STDs, but you got fleas.
That's good. Yeah, man, that's funny shit, man. You have fleas.
You know?
Oh, boy.
L.A. gang member, gold plates, own genitals to death.
He killed his genitals?
I read the story, and I'm like, really?
What happened?
Los Angeles, an L.A. gang member. Who's got a fucking tattoo across his forehead that's 155 TL, and then he's got another tattoo
that
across
his plate?
Right cheek that says Pub Compton. This guy's only got one way to go.
Yeah, he's trouble.
Nazario Cunchuzo Gonzalez,
mm-hmm.
who is part of the infamous MS-13 gang, also called Mara Silvertucha, has died of medical complications after attempting to gold plate his own genitals to celebrate his 17th anniversary.
Anniversary or birthday?
Yeah, I'm 17, so they called it an anniversary.
Jesus, you spent.
With a guy like that that lives like that, let's call it an anniversary.
Yeah.
The young man that is originally from El Salvador and an active member of the MS-13 crime family is believed to have attempted to gold plate his junk wow. with a professional automotive gold plater stolen from a local garage.
Oh, you see, there's more to the story than meets the
eye. After first painting his genitals with a lead-based paint, believe experts, the 17-year-old man, who was allegedly a fan of the 2002 American comedy movie Goldmember,
Goldmember,
which is loose parody of James Bond films, Goldfinger had taken the Spanish nickname of Pelotas de Oro, it's balls of gold, or golden testicles.
Oh, Jesus.
Before
Christ.
Attempting to gold plate his own genitals to his ultimate demise.
Wow.
Yo, man, first thing I'm going to do is get my name, man, okay? Pelotas de Oro. That's my name, man. What's up, Cleveland? No, man, my name is Pelotas de Oro.
Yeah, but you call me Balls for Shirt.
I got balls of gold, man.
You call me Gold Balls for Shirt.
Next time I don't have money, then, you know, I go put my balls on the counter. Will this cover it?
Yeah. Craziness, man. Now, how do you die? Do you asphyxiate your penis?
Well, gold plating one's own genitals, for those of you who are considering it, is an impossibility and should not be attempted, warns Dr. Ian Josephson. He tried it once.
Yeah.
Dr. Ian Josephson of the Los Angeles Community Hospital warns of growing trend within gang members to attempt deadly operation. This is the third case. Can you imagine the third fucking person? Third case this year, but we have had many occurrences in hospitals. In the region these past years, it seemed to be a growing trend with gang members and the gang member community. Well, I got a suggestion. If it's popular with gang members, tell them it's fine.
Yeah.
Go fucking do it.
Right.
Hey,
all of them.
Hey, you know what the big trend is? You got gold nuts, you got gold teeth. Yeah, but you got gold nuts. Come on, man. How fucking hip are you? You're fucking out of touch, brother. Need gold nuts.
Yeah.
You sure? Yeah, man. I know a couple of people died, but they were pussies.
Let me ask you this. What if he was... If you dip your nuts in gold, you know how heavy that would be to walk around? You'd be kicking them all day.
Right? Eventually the weight. You know, if you do it, put it on your helmet. You know, put it on your end of your cock.
Oh, really?
And then your cock hangs down, ends up growing a bunch of inches because of the weight. That's a good idea. That's a good way to get your.
Well, you could tie a bar of gold to your cock too.
Yeah, you just
you
put
did
a hole.
That, didn't you?
Just stick a fucking straw. You know, you don't want a tube, maybe write a cocktail straw into your cock.
Right.
You know, like a little catheter.
Yeah.
And then dip it in gold.
Yeah. Have somebody. Put gold in their mouth and blow it into your.
Yeah. That'll work.
Like Goldschlager.
Yeah.
Goldschlager.
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 We just invented a new drink. It's called Goldschlager. I dip my cock in everything I serve.
In my balls. You ain't going to with the B&B.
The doctor also said, I have no idea where this idea comes from, but plating one's own genitals will only ultimately end in serious medical complications or even death, as we have seen in this case. But I'm going to tell you, no. Dr. Dougie says, do it. If you want to go plate your nuts, fucking do it.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Ahead.
Why not?
But do us a favor. Videotape it. Send it to the show. Let's post it on Wake Up Late with Dougie Show.com and Podbean and .slash and whatever the fuck you got over there. And maybe you could even open your shows, Dougie, with stuff like that. You show a little film at the beginning.
He explained some experts believe the tradition might find its roots in prehistoric Mesoamerican cultures, such as the Mayas, who painted parts of their bodies with gold, paint to empower themselves and as an offering to the gods.
Let me ask you something. You know how hot that has to be to paint your body with gold? It's got to be liquid gold. The only way to make gold liquid is to fucking heat the piss out of it.
Right.
You know that?
Right. Well, it's got to be gold flaked with paint. You know, you got to have flakes in it. You know,
flakes.
Like Goldschlager.
Right.
Right. That's
like
the way
fish
it's
flakes.
Go.
The goldfish flakes.
Yeah.
Imagine you sell somebody, you go to the fucking pet supermarket, you get the goldfish food, and it looks like gold, the little flakes. And use that for stripper glitter. Go to a stripper and pour that on her. She'll stink like fucking, oh my God.
Oh, that's nice.
You ever smelled fish food that comes to those? You've had fish when you were a kid, didn't you?
Yeah, I've had fish. I ate some salmon last night.
No. No, you had fish as a kid, like pet fish. Like
oh, little fish, yeah, like Chinese
stuff.
Fighting fish and goldfish. And
yeah, bad that smell. Remember that little can of turtin, whatever the fucking, you unscrew that. And
that smell of their food, disgusting.
Smell of food was gross.
This is the Wake Up Late with Dougie Show. We're not gross. I'm here with Peter Leonard.
Hi.
And we'll be back with a little more of the show right after this.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Late with Dougie Show.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Late with Dougie Show. It's Wednesday morning. It's hump day. I'm here with Peter Leonard.
Hey, it's bad news.
Yeah, this is, you know.
This just in, ladies and gentlemen.
This is just in. I don't know how this can happen. But Edward Van Halen fired from Van Halen.
You know, people don't realize that bands are corporations, and they have, you know, they have voting rights on what to do within a band, and unless he set it up where he is like the fucking
say it all the monarchy of it,
right? Then what happened, dude?
Well, you know, the interesting thing is as this story comes out, I love it because I love Sammy Hagar,
right?
And people ask me what did I like Van Hagar, did I like Van Halen?
Right,
I liked them both,
right?
You know, I mean,
me too.
You know, there's a I hate to admit it, this isn't one of their better songs, but it's on my. How'd you say? It's on my playlist. Okay. It's on my playlist when I go to the gym and I'm on the, you know, doing little, how do you say,
watching the girls work out?
Yeah.
Okay. Is that what you're doing?
Yeah.
Okay. That's the only reason I even tried yoga, man, to see those chicks.
Doesn't sound like Van Halen to be, right? This came out in like 1984 or something like that. Van Halen. From 5150.
Great, it's a great album. Listen,
a lot of good. Pound Cake is on this album. Yeah,
they have some catalog, these guys. And but you always wonder, like, do you think about Eddie Van Halen as a guitarist? You don't even think of him on Beat It. He does that guitar solo right on the Michael Jackson fucking tune, Beat It, which is just one of the most sickest, best guitar solos I've ever heard in my life. But can the guy front the band? No, they've had a singer. They've had a lead singer.
All right.
Now, he's also had a lot of problems. Drinking-wise, drug-wise, Eddie's been fucked up. How do you break up a marriage? Valerie Bertinelli. He was married to Valerie.
Banging her.
Bertinelli. You know, because I heard that's what he married.
See, that's the vocals of Sammy Hagar.
Right.
And, you know, Sammy Hagar, I remember, because I'm a big Sammy Hagar fan.
Mm-hmm.
Cabo Wabo, everything, baby. Right. And
Can't Drive 55.
Yeah, Can't Drive 50. Red lockbox.
Mm-hmm.
1, 2, 3. Three lockbox. Sorry, three lockbox. Mm-hmm. Fucking, you know, red rocker. Love them. And, you know, like I said, when he first came to Van Halen, Michael Anthony, the bass player, mm-hmm. said that he had to squeeze his nuts to try to back up vocal him. And, you know, Sammy Hagar says about Michael Anthony, he's one of the greatest bass players, as one of the best, greatest backup vocalists.
Right.
Ever. And mm-hmm. you know what? The way David Lee Roth used his vocals were, they needed him on that band.
Absolutely.
And of course, as he said about Sammy in that band, it was a good fit.
Exactly.
You know? So when everything happened, you know, I guess when Sammy and Mike became real good friends. They have their own band, Wild Nut, I don't know what it's fucking mm-hmm. called, but they tour. And it's good. And he used to praise him. Now Michael Anthony was no longer in.
Well, they fired Michael Anthony to put Eddie's kid, Wolfie, on bass.
Wolfgang, yeah.
Yeah, Wolfgang. Yeah.
And like you said, he can't sing a note.
Can't sing. Not a great bass player. And a few days ago, he was being interviewed, I guess, in Rolling Stone magazine. Was it, Dougie? What's the story?
We're talking about Sammy Hagar?
No. Eddie Van Halen was interviewed and said, slam Don Anthony as a bass player.
Oh, yeah, he ripped him. And then Sammy Hagar came out, which was a great, a great rebuttal,
right?
To Eddie's claim, you know, and it was awesome. He said that's because he goes, you remember that tour? Eddie wasn't playing right,
right?
You know, and it was, I mean, it's fucking great. And here's a little bit of it.
It's really irritating to see them go after Mikey. Mikey didn't do anything ever to Van Halen. Mikey was the most loyal guy in the band. He was the guy, the first guy there at rehearsal, the last guy to leave, the guy that was first guy at the gig, the guy that carried the banner, the flag, the VH banner. He carried it every night, and the horseman with the flag, the flagman on the horse in the cavalry. That was Michael Anthony, okay? 100% dedicated, never did anything to hurt those guys. And they try to hurt him again and again and again.
Yeah, always coming down on him. And, you know, the story reads, particularly upset with Van Halen's statements concerning former Van Halen bassist Michael Anthony. In the interview with guitarist said of Anthony, I had to show him how to play.
Hmm.
He also claims Anthony would video the sessions to help him remember what he'd been shown. Van Halen criticized Anthony's singing, telling Billboard he's not a singer. He just has a range from hell. Wow. I have more soul as a singer than he does. And, you know, people always talk about Mike's voice on Van Halen's songs, but that's a blend of Mike's voice and my voice. Hagar responded to those comments with the venom, which,
wow.
For Eddie to say he had to show him what to play and had to teach him all those songs, that is the biggest line of bullshit I've ever heard in my life. I was in that band for 11 years. There was never a video camera involved of Eddie showing him what to play. Eddie would tell him what to play once in a while and say, no, Mike, don't play that many notes. Just stay on one note. Boom, 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 so that I can fuck up and nobody will know it. You know, it was that kind of shit. And I'm telling you straight up, especially on the 04 reunion tour, if Mike would have played any more than one note, it would have been showing that Eddie wasn't playing the right chords again and again and again. I couldn't sing to him. You couldn't play bass to him. So that is a lot of bullshit. And I don't know why they go after him like that. He doesn't deserve it. He's one of the greatest rock and roll bass players ever in the world. Michael Anthony is top five rock and roll bass player in the world. Any bass player will tell you that. Any musician will tell you that.
How do you feel about that? You're a musician. I would trust your...
I'd say, I don't know, you know, I'd say he's a pretty goddamn good bass player.
Geddy Lee. Geddy Lee
is top five,
Geddy
top ten.
Geddy Lee is in the top three, right?
John Entwistle, number one, got to be number one. The Who?
Yeah.
Right. John Entwistle. That guy was unbelievable, man.
Yeah.
Phil Lesh from the Grateful Dead is a great bass player.
Right.
Barry Oakley from the Allman Brothers was a great bass player. But if you're going to go, you could look at guys who play with, by the way, man, another... I'm trying to, who was it? Somebody else got fired. Some drummer was just fired in a band yesterday, too, and replaced by Omar Hakim, who was Sting's drummer. This fucking incredible drummer. Oh, Journey.
They didn't go to the Philippines to find a guy who can drum like them?
I don't know. No, Omar's African, man. He's fucking unbelievable, dude. Wow.
Listen to him play on the circle. He ain't going boom, 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 unless it was called for. Michael Anthony is a bad motherfucker. Fuck you, Eddie Van Halen, for saying that about Mikey. You're a liar.
Wow. I'd like to see
this is the best part. This is the best part. They could tell they should cut, right? The thing should be edited, but... Mm-hmm.
Okay, we're done.
Scared.
Now I'm pissed. I know, I'm pissed, man. I'm so pissed about that, man. Oh, fuck.
Asshole. there's no cause for it.
There is not. Michael Anthony is the greatest guy on the fucking planet.
Wow, nice.
It's really irritating to see.
But this was the story. This has been one crazy week, the Van Halen camp. First guitar god Eddie Van Halen gives a scathing interview with Billboard magazine about the lack of talent and work ethic of the past and current members of Van Halen. The backlash was swift, fiery fans of the band. To the defense of longtime bassist Michael Anthony. Anthony, known for his bong-rattling bass and easygoing demeanor, remained silent, but former Van Halen frontman Sammy Hagar, as we just played, responded. In an effort to minimize the damage to the Van Halen brand, Warner Brothers Records President Al McHumphrey released the following statement.
Wow.
In light of recent events concerning the Billboard magazine interview, we have asked the powers that be in Van Halen band that they release Edward Van Halen from any further obligations now and in the future when it comes to Van Halen franchise.
I wonder if they can... He'll never be able to use his name, Van Halen, right?
Yeah, while we will miss Edward and his contribution to the success of Van Halen, we find his attitude piss poor, quote, and we have verifiable evidence of sand in his vagina. This has made him a liability to the band. The Van Halen will be replacing Edward with adequate blues guitarist George Thorogood, and bassist Wolfgang Van Halen will be replaced with original bassist Michael Anthony.
There we go.
Van Halen will remain with the group, as will current singer David Lee Roth. We hope you will understand that douchebaggery will not be tolerated. We took it for granted that Roth was lying when he was fired when Hagar left due to similar circumstances. We assumed that it was a clash of egos. Michael Anthony is relatively harmless. We have narrowed it down to Edward, who is the prick.
Hmm.
So we have let him go. Sincerely, Al McHumphrey, cock of the walk at Warner Brothers Records.
Wow. Well, listen to this.
Now let me ask you this real quick. Keep that thought. Now, it's one thing when a band loses their lead singer, because that usually is the voice of the band.
Right.
And it's almost impossible to replace it. Mm-hmm. Now, one thing Van Halen was able to do when David Lee Roth was gone, they did get Sammy. It worked.
Right.
Then they got, for a little while, I had heard that they were going to hire a woman for Van Halen.
Hmm.
Like, someone had told Sammy Hagar that somebody turned it down, and Sammy was the second choice. I'm trying to remember who it was right now. Was it Joan Jett or somebody ridiculous like
probably
that?
Cool.
Right?
Joan Baez.
Or Pat Benatar. I think it was Pat Benatar.
No kidding.
She was offered, because I think it was the pet detective.
Mm-hmm.
Comedian
Jim Carrey.
Jim Carrey was talking on Stern. I think that's
Wow, that's crazy.
So,
shit, man.
Yeah. So how can you know? So then the guy Gary, what's his name from Extreme? Mm-hmm. That guy.
Gary with a B, right?
Yeah, he was on Bencourt. There. Bencourt, right? No, that's a guitar player. Okay, yeah, who's great. Good, right. Great guitar player, that guy. But the singer from Extreme, he was on there for It Didn't Work.
Oh, right? That's right. He was, that's exactly, right.
He was on there for like an album, and that right. Was like, that wasn't any good.
No, it's terrible.
Right. And then they went back to Dave a little bit again, then they said, fuck that. And then, you know, how could, if a band, now, to lose the sound of Van Halen, like the drums are very distinctive,
mm-hmm.
right? Alex Van Halen's drums are distinctive.
Mm-hmm.
He has a certain sound to him. Obviously, the guitar playing of Eddie Van Halen is not, there's no one else playing like him.
No, but you know what you can do, though? Listen, you can use the same effects. You can use the same, he puts his guitar through, you know, different channels in his fucking
hands. It's the question, can the music, the big, like you said earlier, their catalog.
As long as the writing is, who wrote, I don't even know who wrote Van Halen's tunes. Do you?
No.
Neither do I. If Eddie wasn't responsible for any composition, then right. Fuck him. Then they don't need him. As long as they're pulling songs from somewhere, whoever's writing their tunes. And
I imagine,
it, you know?
They show videos of kids, like in the Philippines,
mm-hmm.
like 5 years old, or chicks in Argentina playing.
You shouldn't be watching those 5-year-old videos.
No, they're Which playing ones? The guitar.
Oh.
Yeah, they're actually playing. They're playing Eruption, like a 6-year-old chick from fucking Argentina. She's sitting there wailing on Eruption.
Mm-hmm. Right? I saw this kid the other day from School of Rock, this fucking like 12-year-old kid at the food, you know, the Deerfield Beach Wine Food Festival. They had this band from School of Rock.
Yeah.
This kid was 12 and he was shredding.
Yeah.
I couldn't fucking believe it.
My friend Chris Kaloyan teaches
Christ
there, I think.
Almighty. Really?
Yeah, he's with Adam's Anguish.
So listen to this. Do you know who Dean Castronovo is?
He's Dean Castronovo?
Yeah, he's been the drummer for 17 years for Journey.
Right.
That's some drummer. You know, apparently,
player, get down.
Journey reportedly dumped their lead drummer in the middle of a band's U.S. tour. Dean Castronovo was involved in a domestic dispute that led to his arrest in Salem, Massachusetts last week. Journey now has a new lead drummer, Omar Hakim, who has some serious credentials to his name. Now, this is a great story, man. When I was a freaking kid, New York, I worked in an employment agency. This beautiful black chick comes into the office. I mean, dressed impeccably, you know, just... That filled out an application. She was a secretary, got to my desk. She was admin assistant for like, she worked for Gulf and Western, like
right.
Big job. You know, the girl, she was beautiful, spoke beautifully. And I got her an amazing job. I got her some job at J. Walter Thompson working for like the VP
right.
of the Burger King account. Anyway, she calls me. She goes, listen, what are you doing Saturday? I said, nothing. Why? She said, well, my husband is Omar Hakim. You know who that is? I said, I have no idea. He said, he's the drummer for the police for Sting.
Right.
Sting's first tour was back then, it was 1982 or 3 or 4, whatever.
So he was the drummer.
He was the drummer. She said, I have a backstage pass for you. Your name on it. You can bring a guest.
Wow.
He said, are you fucking kidding me? And here she is. I go there. I think, you know, and she was bullshit. And here's this fucking guy. And here's his credentials. Ready? This guy played with... And he's now replaced Dean Castronovo in Journey. He's played with Michael Jackson, Sting, Dire Straits, Anita Baker, Madonna, and Miles Davis. Okay. Mm. You think he'll be any good in Journey?
Well,
I think he'll be pretty goddamn good.
Yeah, he was with Madonna. That's a rocking band.
Well, no. Michael Jackson, they weren't rocking. Come on, man.
By the way, more with the Van Halen story.
Oh, let's hear.
In a statement to CNN, David Lee Roth commented on the situation. Quote, I was telling Alex, man, do you like that song, Bad to the Bone? Yeah, I do too. So I made a few calls and finally reached George and his break. I said, George, you can quit the job at the Jones Wholesale Mattress Factory outlet and come gig with Van Halen. He's showing Mikey how to play Bad to the Bone right now. Dave Grohl is upset for not being considered for the open guitar spot. Ross' reply was, David Grohl, the Foos were yesterday's news.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
And George Thorogood was
he's
65 years old.
He's going to play with a fucking walker. People will pay to hear this Van Halen play with George Thorogood. When asked what the new set list will contain, Roth replied, so far, just Bad to the Bone, but Van Halen is like a party favor. Everyone loves a party favor.
Right.
Well, if you go to watch Van Halen and you listen to that song, Bad to the Bone,
mm-hmm.
That's an interesting opening. But, you know, when you think about distinctive sounds, George Thorogood has a distinctive sound.
Right, right.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. I also have that, but it's also Southern.
I couldn't imagine. I'm sure David Grohl, by the way, Dave, was kidding
Yeah.
About, I mean, I'm sure he'd like to jam with Van Halen, but the Foo Fighters, I don't know. The
Killer
Foo
band.
Fighters, when you think about it, compare Foo Fighters to Van Halen.
Well, you can't because Van Halen...
It's a longer stretch of time,
and
a longer, bigger
catalog.
They
were the arena rock thing. They were an international artist. I don't know how much of an international...
Well, David Grohl, they were just... They were
in Europe.
Matter of fact, when me and Tim were working at the Home Field Comedy Club a couple weeks ago with Jim Florentine, Tim gets a text from his... That's his cousin.
Who's his cousin?
David Grohl.
You're kidding me.
No. And I get that he fell off stage and broke his leg.
Yeah, he busted his leg.
He got the text that night.
They stopped his tour.
Yeah, he was really pissed. Can you imagine they were going to be at these different festivals, and then they were supposed to be in Sweden, or they're in Sweden, wherever it was. That sucks.
But it hasn't been the first time that they've done that. I remember Frank Zappa fell off. He was thrown off a stage in the 70s by an irate guy. A British guy, as a matter of fact.
Probably British.
Yeah, a guy who fucking threw him off stage because he thought that he was making lewd faces at his girlfriend sitting next to him.
Yeah.
So he climbed up on the stage and threw him off the stage. And Frank,
you're looking at my lover. You're looking at my bird.
You're looking at my girl. That's my girl.
You keep looking at my girl. I'm going to fucking slap you.
I'm going to break your leg when I throw you off the stage.
I'm going to knock you the fuck out, I am.
I'm going to fuck you up.
Well, that's good training, you know.
Frank Zappa.
I'm glad we're practicing that.
Why?
Because... It's time for From Across the Pond with Dougie Almeida. Turn up your radio, you wanker. Thank you. Yes. God save the Queen and all that.
Hello.
Hello and welcome to It's From Across the Pond.
Well, hello there.
Welcome to the show, Gloria. This is part of the show where we bring you a story from across the pond. And we use accents the whole time. Anybody's here must talk with an English accent.
You've got to, or else you're going to get thrown out of your butt right away, right? We'll send you right back
out of your backside.
We'll send you right back to where you came from.
You get
from.
Thrown to your onto your backside.
Onto your bum. It's
onto your
bum. We call it a bum over there.
We call it backside as well.
Well, did you?
It depends on where you're at
now.
The time.
Well,
the bum. It's like a nice way if there's kids around. Well, hey, somebody just fell on their bum.
Did you wipe your bum today?
Yeah. You want to say your backside. You know, Johnny, did you wipe your backside?
No, Daddy, I didn't.
I thought I smelled something.
Yes.
You smell like poo.
My underwear is sticking to me, Daddy.
And I have bat wing as well.
Yes, and a dog keeps licking me.
And not the way they licked that little girl over there in the United States across the pond.
Yeah, that little bitch.
Because she was she couldn't wank like we can she?
No, she was not very good at it.
She wasn't a good wanker.
No, not at all.
Well, all I can tell you is I'm going to have a spot of tea.
Yeah,
and
hear
the rest of your story. What kind of stories do you have
I'm
today there,
Dougie? I'm hoping a bloody story can come up because every time we go from across the pond.
There's nothing happening in Britain. Oh, you know what happened over there? I read a great story.
Oh, no, I got it here.
Oh, you got one?
Women post ad for open-minded person to use time machine built in her garage.
Oh, boy, what time is it?
Oh, it's time to get away from that fucking
it's
crazy
time,
bird.
It's time to get a psychiatrist and send the loony bin over
it's
the
couch.
It's
time to put the pipe down, love.
It's time to get a big net and throw it over her bloody ass, eh?
Yes, it's time you found your relatives.
It's time.
A woman is advertising for someone to share her first journey in her new invention, a time machine. The ad, which has appeared on Gumtree, could have come straight from Back of the Future. The classified is appealing... from a companion to join her in the first human transportation using her device. Meanwhile, it's probably just a dildo she shoves up your ass, and the pain makes you feel you've gone back to the 20s. It's reminiscent of Marty McFly's, played by Michael J. Fox, becoming unlikely colleagues with Christopher Lloyd's madhead Doc Brown as they took souped DeLorean through time back to the futures of 1985.
I saw a spoof.
That's when I graduated school, I did.
I saw a movie, a spoof on that, with a bunch of surgeons. It was called Back to the Suture.
Yes, women seeking a friendly Gumtree claims to have already sent mice through time, but can't work out if they went forward or back.
That wasn't very nice of them, was it?
No, it wasn't very nice of her.
Oh, my God.
The woman now wants a male or female. Oh, put me next in line.
Yeah.
I want to disappear.
No, exactly. I just send me up to the outer space.
Yeah, I don't care.
In the other side.
Ground control to Major Tom.
That's right.
Listen, shh. This woman's fucking brain is gone.
8, 7.
She thinks we're going through time, and I've got a helmet on.
4, 3.
Ground control to Major Tom.
1. Listen.
She's sticking a dildo up in my bum. Oh, that was funny.
That would hurt quite a bit,
oh,
wouldn't
that
it?
That was good. I got a call.
I hope she's got some grease back there.
Yeah.
Now,
the woman now wants a male or female who is open-minded, of course, with a good sense of humor, to accompany her on a trip through time. No images have been supplied, but the woman from Exminster in Devon wrote, "For the past few months, I have been working on a design for a time machine in my garage."
Oh, my gosh.
So far, I have been able...
Excuse me. Are you crazy? It's garage.
Garage, yes.
Garage.
So far, I have been able to make mice disappear. Well, was that or the Exterminator?
No, that's what, you know what his name said? Richard Gere.
Yeah.
They have Richard Gere in there.
Yeah, Richard Gere came into town and there's no more mice left.
By George.
But I don't know why, if they're going back or forward in time.
Well,
there you go.
If their nails are sharp, it would hurt going backwards.
I am looking for a time-traveling partner, male or female, who is open-minded with a good sense of humor, you know, to accompany me on my first human transportation. Owner drivers would be a plus, as the machine needs to be taken to a wide open space, like a beach, to prevent property damage. Happy to split the fuel, of course, love. Looking forward to hearing from you soon. Thank you. I am not crazy. End of story.
That's craziness, man. I'll tell you what. These British, what they do is just insane. And
can you believe it?
And half the time, they mumble it. They mumble it.
Somebody's going to show up there and go, "I'd like to go on your time machine, love."
Yeah.
I'd like to.
Yeah. You know, she called a vagina was a time machine.
Yeah.
It's about time she got rid of it.
It's about time somebody closed that thing up.
I think she's crazy.
Yeah.
Is that all you got from across the pond?
That's it for today, by the fact.
Oh, my God. Let's go back to America?
Yeah. No, we're going to do it if we can close the show like this if you want.
Oh, really?
Yeah, why not?
Okay, then.
So anyway,
I've had a blast today.
It's been a lot of fun.
It has been fun.
I'm going to talk like this all day, I think.
Okay.
But this has been the Wake Up Late with Dougie Show. I'd like to thank my good friend Peter Leonard.
Was he here today? Well, he didn't introduce me. What, are you ashamed of me?
Don't be a gay fucking English guy. Nobody likes a gay Englishman.
Well, they're all gay, you know.
Don't say that about Elton John.
Look at their teeth.
Yes. But thanks again for listening, guys. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter at Wake Up Dougie. Join our fan page on Facebook at Wake Up Late with Dougie Show. Of course, you can follow Dougie at Dougie Owl at Dougie Dangerous. On Instagram at Dougie Dangerous. And of course, don't forget, this Friday night, Dougie will be at the Comedy Connection in Providence, Rhode Island on Friday night at 8 p.m.
That's big news.
That's right. Don't forget, tonight, Wednesday night, Tavolino's Wise Guys Comedy Show with the very funny Mike Rivera. He's going to be in the studio tomorrow with us as well.
Is he British?
No, he's not, but he probably has a good accent.
Is he from Puerto Rico like you?
Yes, he is from Puerto Rico, matter of fact.
All right, then.
He is, but he doesn't look Puerto Rican.
Well, I need some rice and beans. Yeah.
Thanks again for listening, guys. Tomorrow, I'll be in the studio with Minda, Mike Rivera, and possibly Jordan Garnett to tell us why the fuck he thought he'd go back to Hookah Alibaba Lounge. Thanks again for listening. We'll see you tomorrow right here at the same spot.
If looks could kill, they probably will. In games without frontiers, war without tears. Games without frontiers, war without tears.